What is up, bosses? Since most of you are entrepreneurs out there, you probably recognize this sound. That is the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is our newest sponsor here at Invest Like a Boss. They're a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs like myself or even Sam and Johnny, all three of us have used Shopify at some point for one of our businesses. They can customize all your needs, give you a great-looking online store that brings your ideas to life, and they even have tools to manage your day-to-day and drive sales. Make your idea real with endless possibilities. I'm going to tell you all about Shopify during the break, but if you want to get a head start, just head over to shopify.com/ilab. Now, this is important, the ILAB. Make sure it's all lowercase, and you'll get a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. You can start selling on Shopify today. You just got to go to shopify.com/ILAB. That's shopify.com/ILAB. Like I said, I'll tell you more in a few minutes, but let's get this episode started.
Welcome to the Invest Like a Boss podcast.
I'm Sam Marks.
And I'm Johnny FD. We're self-made entrepreneurs who invest our own money and use modern technology to invest like a boss.
Join us each week for exclusive interviews with our network of modern investors, business owners, and multimillionaires to discover new ways to invest our hard-earned cash.
Welcome back, bosses. This is episode 246. This is Sam sitting in Barcelona. And Derek, nice dress you're wearing.
Dude, it is the middle of the nastiest heat wave in LA. I don't know what's going on, but every year, September is the hottest month in LA. And I happen to be in a place where they're like, oh, you don't need air conditioning. Well, let me tell you, you do right now. It is.
Dude, you don't have AC in your place?
I do not.
You live in America and you don't have AC?
I know. I'm slumming it, man. I live at the beach, which most of the time, if it's 80, it's hot. But we are in the 90s at the beach here, and it's like 120 if you go about 5 miles inland. It's wild right now.
Derek is wearing a white striped shirt. No, that's a dress. That's definitely a dress.
A dress?
It's hot everywhere. We're just turning the corner here in Barcelona. Things are starting to cool off a little bit. And I was just in La Rioja in Spanish wine country, which if you look at a map, it looks like it's in the middle of like a desert area. It's very dry, northern Spain. But I didn't realize it's in a bit of altitude. So when I got there, the weather was amazing, man. It was like 16 Celsius at night. What's that? Double it, add 30, 36, high six, mid 60s at night, and kind of mid 70s, low 80s in the day. It was, oh, so nice, man. Just
yeah.
Happened.
16 Celsius is, yeah, 60 Fahrenheit, which sounds pretty good. Here it's like 34 Celsius.
Oh.
So
it's
double
not going to get any better in California, man. You might want to make a move soon. Well, speaking of move, you just finished a road tour in Vegas for
Deserts as well. it was actually
places.
It was actually cooler in Vegas, I think, when I was there. Wow. Last week I went to Box Bowl, which is really cool. Super innovative stuff there. And then I thought I'd take another stop in Vegas. And this is actually an investment that you have, Sam. I went and talked to Winner Winner.
And this is cool because I haven't been to their facility in Vegas, but I've always wanted to go. I just am like, I'm never back in the States for more than a week or two. It's like,
you know, when I was there, Sam, they're just like, we never even heard of this Sam guy. So he just wrote us a check and then walked away.
Yeah, exactly.
But tell us a little bit about Winner Winner. So I went there a little bit different part of town compared to Box Bowl. Box Bowl is kind of on the new side where all these new warehouses are blowing up in Vegas. And Winner Winner is a little sketchier part of town. They would even admit it too. So interesting neighborhood, but they're in like this office park and really unassuming office. So you walk in, you're like, okay. And then you go inside and there is claw machines everywhere. There's cameras everywhere. It looks like this weird like almost like a Matrix for the arcade machine. So remember the Matrix when everyone was like in their little tubes of gel and stuff? Think of like that, but with like arcade machines where there's cameras hooked up to everything. They're watching everything. And Cody, who we're about to talk to, is the co-founder of Winner Winner. He showed me how this works. So it's basically picture your phone screen and you can control everything on the claw machine. You can go up, down, left, right, whatever it may be. And it's all control. It's like, it's weird because you're like looking at like a machine from the 80s, but you're like controlling it with your phone. So it's kind of like a wild concept.
So you're saying you actually went and visited without downloading the app?
I did. Because
I'm showing Derek the app on my phone right now as we're talking.
I wanted to walk in fresh and not knowing what was going on. So.
Okay, I like that. And actually, as an investor, the way that you presented this makes me very happy. Shitty part of town, keeping rents low. Then you walk in, you're blown away, which is great because they don't have any customers that walk in the door. You know, that it's literally just a warehouse to house the machines. Like, it doesn't need to be presentable. It doesn't need to be in a good part of town, except you don't want theft, but who's going to steal a claw machine with a camera on it?
But honestly, I don't think anyone knows
what value is.
I don't think anyone knows what's going on inside. And that's kind of the beautiful part too. So they were talking about maybe renewing their lease or moving somewhere else. And he's like, it's so cheap. Like the deal we're getting, like we might as well just stay here. So that's a good point though.
It's so funny. Cause this is my very good friend and someone I've done business with for the last 15, 20 years. I mean, for the first business that I ever did when I was in college, he was part of it. He ended up buying it. That's how we got to know each other. But John Davidman, and when you said this story of like, it's in a shitty part of town, but then like, you know, you go in, you're blown away. I'm like, oh, this is such a John Davidman type of thing. Like, he would be definitely willing to go to a sketchier part of town to save on rent. Cause it's, you know, that's how he is, just shrewd at business and cuts costs where needed. So that's good to hear. But yeah, the real reason we sent Derek there is not to have an interview, but to actually vet my investment, right? Thank you, Derek. No, I'm excited to hear this interview with Cody, and I'm sure we'll have more to say in the outro.
Yeah, let's do it. This is Cody Flaherty. He's co-founder of Winner Winner. They're based in Las Vegas, live interactive gaming. They have digital gaming and they're jumping into the live trivia space as well. So let's do the interview and then we'll talk to Sam and how he feels about the current state of his investment.
All right, part two of Vegas special, I guess we can call it, on Invest Like a Boss. I'm here at the headquarters of Winner Winner. I have Cody Flaherty here, who is the founder, I believe.
Co-founder.
He didn't do it all himself. of Winner Winner. Super awesome place. I'll show you guys a video too. We did a little tour. Just a refresher here. Sam's brought it up quite a bit on the show. He's actually an active investor in Winner Winner. This is the one where you can play the claw machine. Hopefully soon you can play skee ball.
Coming soon.
All kinds of other cool stuff. It's kind of a mix of virtual and physical, kind of a mesh. I don't know. You can explain it better, Cody. What's kind of your elevator pitch for Winner Winner?
Yeah, you know, the way that we think about it is it's an aggregation of like physical, digital, and live gaming. So we have our physical games that people are playing, claw machines, like prize redemption games, skee ball coming soon. We have our live trivia content, and we're branching out into other live hosted content. And then we've also added a lot of digital experiences in the app as well. So things like, you know, progressive, like, level-based games where users get rewarded every single time they pass a level or set a new high score. And our vision for what we're building is, you know, like a Netflix-style like library like gaming platform where you continue expanding on the physical, continue to add new live hosted engagements. So right now we have live trivia that's in beta that we talked about. We're going to eventually be branching into like live hosted bingo and live hosted Plinko and other experiences. And where we have, you know, we launched our first set of digital games inside the app this past quarter. But we have, you know, a dozen of those today. Our vision is to have, you know, hundreds of them all inside our, you know, this one ecosystem.
So tell us about your background and how you got into the gaming space. I mean, because gaming is insane. I'm honestly happy I'm not a gamer because it looks really addictive.
It's addictive. Yeah, there's a lot of things you gotta like be cautious. It's also like very, very competitive, right? Mm-hmm. Like the mobile gaming industry, the gaming industry just in general, but mobile gaming, you know, specifically continues to grow at a really rapid clip. And then, you know, with that comes more and more competition. Changes with advertising and dealing with Apple and Google. Like, there's a lot of headaches that come along with it. But like inherently, the work is a lot of fun, right?
Yeah.
Like you're building fun experiences. You're building. I mean, I never would have thought that like I'd have a lot of working knowledge of claw machines.
Right. Yeah.
but here I am. So, John, my co-founder, he's actually the one that came to me sort of like with the concept. John and I know each other from the last business that I wound up running. I was one of the early employees at Petflow.com, which was an online pet food delivery service.
Mm-hmm.
So very similar to Chewy, for those familiar. That business was started in 2010. I was one of the first employees, and eventually we got acquired by the largest distributor of pet products in the country. After that acquisition, John reached out and said, "Hey, I'm thinking about this concept." And I told him he was crazy.
Yeah,
and it made no sense. And then here we are 3 years later. So John's background, he was a co-founding a member of Caesars Interactive. Caesars Interactive, they bought the World Series of Poker rights, and they also purchased, at the time, a small mobile gaming company called Playtika. Playtika is now one, like the largest social casino gaming companies in the world. They're public at like $10 or $12 billion now.
So you have backers like Caesars, and I think you also have some other big names backing you guys too. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So Mitch Garber, who was the CEO of Caesars Interactive, Marco Ciccarelli, who was he was the CIO at Caesars Interactive. They personally invested. The three founders of DraftKings personally invested. Noel Hayden, who was the founder of GameSys, which he sold to Bally's last year for like, I don't know, $3.6 billion or something dumb like that. He's invested. Elad Cohen, who is a co-founder of Playtech, he's invested. So a lot of strategic advisors and investors from the gaming space kind of in our corner.
So you've worked in other startups before. You kind of know the lay of the land. What's the goal of Winner Winner? Is it to be acquired? Is it to IPO at some point? What's the kind of maybe the 10-year plan?
Yeah, John, I didn't start the business with a particular exit or like acquire in mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we've always assumed that it would go by way of acquisition, as opposed to like going public. And it really just a matter of our philosophy is build the most sustainable, viable business that we can, and eventually that proves value to somebody somewhere.
Sure.
Whether it we become an add-on to a larger gaming business or something completely separate, right? There's a lot of opportunity in kind of what we're doing because it's different. There's also, our vision from the beginning was, John came to me and said, like, I want to do something innovative in the gaming space, right? That's his background. That's what he knows. And we kind of arrived at live content being sort of like the next wave of mobile gaming, right? We talked about HQ and like their rise and fall and kind of like the demand that was proved with that product. And unfortunately, they weren't successful, but there was some validation on the player like desiring that type of experience. There's another product out there that was actually just acquired by Triple Dot, which is one of the largest mobile gaming companies in the world now. That's a live bingo experience. And so that's kind of where like the idea sort of originated, was how do we do something different and innovative in the gaming space that's not just like like the next, like how do we kind of change the way that gaming development studios think about like their processes and involve live content.
Sure. So what did Winner look like 3 years ago, I believe, when you started? What did it look like if I downloaded then, and what does it look like today, and how have you grown in users since?
Oh gosh,
it sounds like you guys are evolving really fast.
Yeah, we're definitely trying to. When we first launched, honestly, I look back and I'm just like so mortified at the product.
Yeah,
and like they say, that's a good thing, right? Like if you look back and you're satisfied, you probably launched too late. But we couldn't have been more wrong about the direction that we like built the app and like who it was targeting, right? We were thinking, okay, we're going to launch with claw machines and then expand into other content as we continue to grow. And our thesis was, it's a younger demo who kind of traditionally plays these games. Mm-hmm. So let's build an experience that sort of caters to that. And we couldn't have been more wrong about who our user was.
Sure.
Our average user is mid-30s, split male, female, and it gets older as opposed to getting younger.
Really? Right? That's surprising.
So, okay. And that was a really big shock for us. And we realized, like, man, the whole way that we've, like, built this app from the aesthetic and all that.
Is it maybe because you're using kind of some older school, like, arcade games that it's reminiscent of the childhood?
Yeah, there's definitely, like, a nostalgia aspect to it. We have, like, a lot of our demo kind of is, like, kind of akin to like the bingo player demo.
That's real.
we're kind of like in the middle, right? It's not super old, but there's like a lot of our players are like, they like bingo, right? So why it's on our radar for like, what else do we add as far as experiences go? So after we're in market for a few months, we realize, man, we got this wrong.
Sure.
we kind of changed the aesthetic pretty quickly from being like, originally we launched like this carnival circusy like type vibe that felt like this is actually like one of our original pieces of creative, and like we keep it up just to remind ourselves like where we started.
And
so today, we're definitely going more towards like a mid-30s, 40s, like adult-driven, like gamer, as opposed to
someone with some expendable income.
That's the other big part, right? Is that like 18-year-olds have way less disposable income than someone who's mid-30s, like especially if they don't have kids, right? Like they invest like their disposable income in things that they enjoy, and a lot of times that's gaming.
Cool. So, how does the technology work? Because I'm still confused. We just walked through the factory warehouse, we could call it, and you have a couple cameras set up, and we watch it live. You go on the app. What do I experience when I'm on the app, and how is that controlled?
Yeah. So when you open the app today, you're met with like a game lobby. So yes, like what was it like before? Where's it at? It used to be that you're met with like 20 different prizes that you can play for, and that was it. Today, when you open up the app, you're met with a game lobby where you see, a dozen or so digital games. If we're running a live trivia that day, you'll see like that being displayed. Then you also see, the live game room, and eventually that's going to include other games outside of just the prize redemption games that we have. But when you tap into that, you're met with a massive list of prizes. So at any one given time, we may have like 500 prizes playable in the app at a given time. You can also play by machine type. So what we found is that some of our most avid players really enjoyed, they'd find games that they were better at, like different machine setups, and just kind of concentrate on playing those games. Because the other element of our app is that, say I win a prize and I don't really care about that prize, I can swap it out for tickets and accumulate tickets that way.
And it's like an old school arcade where like you get enough tickets, you can get a certain prize.
Right. Yeah. So if I save up whatever it is, like a Nintendo Switch or like a new MacBook or a flat screen TV, or maybe I want like a new coaster set or something like that. So we have almost 10,000 different prizes like live in our reward center. That's kind of like what the experience looks
like. Here's something I just thought of. Like, has anyone figured out how to like hack one of your machines yet?
No, that's a beauty of so I shouldn't say no. Like, they are games of skill, right? Like the big like knock on claw machines is that like they're rigged, and they can be. But our games are all games of skill. They're not programmed to like payouts or anything like that.
No one's figured out if I get it in this exact spot every time I can win.
Not from like a programming perspective, but from a skill-based perspective, we have a very active community on Discord and other like groups on social where they'll share tips and tricks and they'll find
ways. Like, how have we given out 10 MacBooks to this guy this month?
They'll find ways to play certain machines where like this is a strategy, and when you deploy that strategy, your success is far greater. And we've definitely had games where like people are too good at this, we got to tear it down and do something else. Otherwise, like we're losing on every single play.
I'm just envious of the people that have enough time to figure this out. So.
it's fun to watch how active the community is and like how engaged they are with like the different setups and all the different games and stuff that we have.
That's cool. It's just good for business. Can you give us some numbers on like maybe active users, monthly, daily, week, whatever?
So right now we're right around 200,000 monthly active users.
And how often would the average user use it? Are they every day? Are they once a week? Are they all day?
Yeah. So we'll see a little over one session per day across all of our players. So a pretty active user base. And we found that, you know, because of the nature of our game, you know, because it is more like pay to play, right? So if you can come in and play for free, get an understanding of what the experience is like. But eventually you have to monetize either through you're watching ads or purchase. Mm-hmm. And so we've always kind of catered the experience to our paying players. And we found that, you know, when it comes to our retention on those payers, we're actually very, very healthy, compared to what standard baselines are. Across mobile gaming, and so that's kind of the way that we think about, you know, how we continue building the app, what features we're investing in, how do we get better at continuing to retain that batch of users who's one really active and is not afraid to buy tokens to engage with the game.
Awesome. So let's get further into the business side, and there's also a way that bosses out there can invest. We'll take a super quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll learn about that.
This week's sponsor of Invest Like a Boss is Shopify. Shopify is more than a store. You can connect with your customers, drive sales, manage your day-to-day, and Shopify accepts all major payment methods. They have thousands of integrations and third-party apps, from on-demand printing to accounting to advanced chatbots and so much more. You can join the over 2 million entrepreneurs that are on Shopify, making sales every 28 seconds. In fact, there's another one. So, like I said, Sam, Johnny, and myself have all personally used Shopify. It's so easy to get started. You can supercharge your knowledge, your sales, and your success. And to help you with that success, you're going to get 14 days free and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. All you got to do is go to shopify.com/ilab. That's shopify.com/ILAB. Make sure that iLab is all lowercase. You can start selling on Shopify today. One more time, you just got to go to shopify.com/iLab. Get your free 14-day trial.
All right, back here. Let's talk a little bit deeper about the business and investment side of Winner Winner. Once again, it's Cody Flaherty, who's co-founder of Winner Winner. First off, I think you guys are raising a new round. You want to speak more about that?
Yeah. So we closed a $5 million raise last year, and we're you know, we still have over a year runway on that raise. But just the kind of timing with where we're at with the business, new features that we've launched, and kind of looking at, you know, macroeconomic factors and what's happening with companies and their ad spend, we feel like it's a good time for us to raise additional capital to be able to spend that into growth. So we're raising a $2 million safe note with a $35 million valuation cap and a 20% discount.
So what's who can invest? Is it accredited only? Do they have to be a U.S. citizen?
So accredited investors does not need to be a U.S. citizen. Okay. And we're doing a minimum check size of $100,000.
Okay. If anybody's curious, we'll dig more, and I'll talk to Sam about his investment in the company, and maybe he's jumping in again. I'm not sure. What's the plans to use this $2 million?
Yeah. So, you know, kind of going a step back, you know, where we're at with the business, you know, this year has really been a lot about product expansion and experience expansion. You know, the business tripled last year. And we kind of went into this year saying, we're not really looking to grow this year. We really want to expand the offering for our users. As we invest in these new games, these new experiences, we feel like we're going to build an even better retention app product. And so that's really what this year has been about. We kind of scaled back our UA efforts and invested heavily in, you know, new games. So we built an entire integration where you know, we can launch new digital games on the fly. We can post updates to those games, snap of a finger, as opposed to having to go through app review processes and all that stuff. And then obviously our live hosted content is out now too. And so, you know, with that kind of behind us, now we're at a point where it's okay, we feel a lot better starting ramping back into growth. And that's kind of where, you know, where we expect to spend the additional capital.
So I'm doing a couple of shows here in Vegas because I really believe in the way Vegas is heading, and it's really business friendly. I talked to another company yesterday, Boxable. They were really heavy on Vegas, and they're expanding in Vegas. We talked before this that you're going to probably renew your lease here and maybe even expand further. Why Vegas, first of all?
So, why Vegas? I was living here.
Okay.
That's pretty
it was convenient.
Much the core reason. Convenience. Yeah, there's nothing around like legalities. You know, we get questions, asked a lot about, you know, is it gambling? We don't meet the gambling threshold at all. It's
right.
All skill-based gaming. So there's only 4 states that we actually don't operate in because of, like, they have explicit skill gaming, like, restrictions.
Can you say those states? Just curious.
Yeah, so Montana, Maryland, Delaware, and... I forget the last one. It might be Louisiana, maybe.
So I was going to say it was probably more in the south, but then you were saying there's some in the
north. So Montana actually, it's not a regulation around skill based gaming and how they classify it. It's a really weird nuance, like arcade law, that says the distribution of a prize won on an arcade gaming machine has to be in person.
It's just old, outdated law.
Really
that
weird
updated.
Nuance.
Yeah.
I mean, when we first started, we went like state by state, looking at their skill gaming laws, like their arcade laws, all of that. That was, I mean, the first big chunk of money that John and I invested was
the
all
legality.
Well,
speaking of demographics, you said it's about 50-50 male, female, 30s, 40s. What about international, though? I got to think this is really popular in Asia.
Yeah, so actually, we haven't launched in Asia. So one of the values that we see for the product that we're building is that it really is like an international like experience. The beauty of claw machines in particular is that they're known worldwide. Like, they exist in Pakistan, they exist in Russia, they exist in Japan, they exist in Chile, like, they exist in the United States, they're everywhere. It's a really low learning curve as far as, like, how to play the game.
Sure.
And so, you know, that offers a lot of international opportunity. So we actually are live in Canada, the UK, and Australia right now.
Okay.
We haven't invested in growing those markets. You know, we're still barely scratching the surface in the U.S. And so that's
so
where our focus.
What percentage of your customer base is U.S.? Are you 90 or
95%?
Okay,
yeah. So we really we opened up those markets because we were getting a lot of international demand for it through like our TikTok lives and like our social like lives.
Mm-hmm.
It would bring in a lot of international traffic. Oh, we're also live in Mexico. And we'd see a lot of demand from those regions. So we said, okay, well, it doesn't hurt us to at least offer it. But we haven't invested there from like, you know, strategic, you know, like we're really trying to grow in these areas because we think that we're still just barely scratching the surface in the U.S.
Very cool. Really interesting stuff. Where can listeners go to check out more about Winner Winner? Maybe even learn about the investment, but definitely at least download the app. Where should they go?
Yeah, so you can go live on the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. Just search Winner Winner, and it should pop right up. You can also go to winnerwinner.com to get those links directly.
Awesome. And if you guys want to check out the tour of Winner Winner, we'll post that in Patreon, Boss Lounge. You can check it out anywhere. Cody, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me today. Appreciate it.
Derek, during that interview with Cody, I lost $3 in claw machines on Winner Winner. It goes quick.
it was so quick. He showed me how it's done. And then, you know, we missed it, of course. but I could see these people. He told me that there's like these groups on Discord and wherever they are online that they're like plotting how to win on certain machines. And they found like secret spots. And he said even sometimes they have to shut down certain machines because people have figured them out.
Yeah.
Really? So
I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. Like someone's actually hacking Winner Winner's games already. That's cool.
He said it's not really hacking. It's more of like a strategy, but people have figured these things out and they have the time to do it, which it's kind of a blessing for me. I think that I've never gotten into gaming because it looks like such a time suck, which is obviously good for the business,
you know,
but personally I can't do it.
So the scene is, how many arcade machines do they have? These are like, this is really funny actually, because talking to you, I'm like, actually, I think you know more about the business than I do. But it all started with claw machines. You think of like automated claw machines of
so
all
I,
types.
I
right?
bet
was
there's
like 100 or something.
Bet there's 30 to 50 of the claw machines.
30 to 50. Okay. So imagine it'd be so funny if you're walking around there and all of a sudden you walk by one of the claw machines and there's just no toys left in it and you're like someone figured out how to game it.
I know, right?
Block that user app.
I think that's what's happening though. But it's interesting because so they got the claw machines now. They're working on skee ball. Skee ball is not active yet, but they did have a few skee ball machines. They're kind of working out the logistics of it. So you can like throw the ball on your phone and physically throw the ball in the skee ball machine.
They sent me some videos of the engineers that are working on automating basically like putt-putt golf and skee ball. And so they have to build a custom like little robot to control, say, the putter and the golf, the putt-putt golf, and then like a robotic arm for the skee ball. And it's all like, you know, these machines don't exist. So they have an engineer come in, map it all out, and then build something from scratch, get it working, and then they replicate it. It's really cool. I mean, they're building like robotics there that are, it's all customized. And that was the coolest part when John came up with the idea to build this, you know, to build Winner Winner. And it was really first predicated just on these claw machines. He's like, look, we're going to, you know, I'm going to go buy like these old claw machines and I'm going to have engineers come in and outfit them to automate them and set them up to phones so you can play by an app. And we're going to have hundreds of these things in Vegas. And it's just like, well, that kind of all sounds cool, but actually pulling that off is really quite difficult. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts to that, literally and figuratively, to do that. And like, he did it in a remarkably quick time, him and Cody.
Yeah. Like, so Cody actually came from a background where he didn't even like know anything about these. Yeah. And he's like, you know, I can do one of these, like with my eyes closed now. And they're going to like auctions or wherever to find these old machines, and they're just getting them for like pennies on the dollar, and then they're just ripping the guts out. So they showed me like the wiring of these, and it's like I had no idea what was going on, but it's all wired up to whatever system, and then they have like a 3D camera so you can essentially see everything on your phone, and then the controls and how it all works. I didn't understand it, but I mean, they've learned like really quick how to, like, basically none of these guys came from any of the gaming space to knowing like being total experts in just a few years on these machines. And now they're expanding into other areas as well.
Yeah. Well, it'll be really cool. I keep telling them to try to move into Asia as quick as possible. Cause
I thought they would already be there. I was like, this has got to be huge in Asia. And he's like, we're not even there yet.
Yeah. Massive. So on the investment front, what did you like? What did you not like?
I like that they have some really big names investing in it besides Sam Marks. Caesars Interactive has invested in it pretty well. I think Bally's was also a lot of these big gaming names, you know, multi-billion dollar corporations. And I like the fact that they have a lot of active users. They had a lot more than I thought. He said about 200,000 active users right now. And those users are 30s, 40s, and older, which I was surprised by. So they all have some expendable income. You know, it's not just teenagers playing the game. So I found that really interesting, and it's like nostalgic. So these people that went to the actual arcades when they were kids are actually moving it to the phone now.
I think the owners of was a big gaming betting. Is it DraftKings?
Yeah, I think it was DraftKings or FanDuel. One of those are involved as well, too.
Yeah. And then, you know, who I heard was going to invest, you know, heard, but right before the crypto crash is the biggest influencer in the world. You know who that is?
The biggest influencer in the world. Who's that?
That's a great trivia question, isn't it?
I would say Elon Musk, but I don't think Elon's investing in it.
Yeah, that's actually like, how do you categorize that? Like, how are you strictly an influencer versus like a CEO or a model or whatever?
Sure. I guess it depends on, well, then I'd say like a Kardashian or something. So I don't know where you're going with this.
I heard it's Jake Paul, and that's who.
Oh, okay. That would be insane.
He was about to make a big investment, but then I guess he was like massively overexposed to crypto.
Yeah, so, I think he's not worth as much as everyone thinks because he just blows through cash.
He's got a big fight coming up.
Yeah, that'd be huge though. And he's actually become like a legit fighter too. So
become a legit fighter. Yeah,
yeah, they're fun to watch. So they actually said that the goal of this, Sam, was to get acquired. Was that your understanding when you invested with them?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think most startups want to make something impactful, but also want to make, you know, driven by the game of capitalism. So, you know, the two likely events for an exit are acquisition or IPO. And I think acquisition's much, much more common. So yeah, definitely. I mean, I've known John for a very long time. He's done very well. He's a guy that, you know, it's a boom or bust deal. Like, he doesn't like to play around going sideways for multiple years. He, you know, goes all in and tries to build something, make a big impact, sell it, and then repeat the cycle.
Nice. So can you tell us what you've invested in, when you invested, and if you're looking to add any more to the investment?
So I've invested a total of 100, and that was in two different rounds. It was the initial round, which was, I guess you call it like a pre-seed round. That was going back 2 or 3 years ago. And then recently, when I was putting together my metaverse portfolio,
I don't even want to talk about that.
And I asked you what you like and what you don't like. And like, what I don't like is I'm just way overexposed to the metaverse now. I mean, that whole thing just,
yeah,
is a case study of what not to do.
We should do another update on that probably at the end of the year and cry some more.
This is part of it. This is part of it. But this is cool. I mean, this one's cool because, like, there's, on paper, this investment's still going up, whereas all the metaverse publicly traded stocks are all down like 70%. So
the only real gaming stock I have in the metaverse is that Unity. And I actually checked it before this and it's down 40%, which is one of the better ones.
Yeah. Not bad. Not bad.
So I'm kind of over the gaming space. I'm trying to stay out for a while.
When you add in inflation to that, you're down at least 50%.
Ugh, yeah. It's not pretty right now. Well, thanks to Cody for the interview. I definitely appreciated it. It's exciting to see what Winner is going to do. I'd like to see how this live trivia thing goes. I know, what was it? HQ Trivia was like the hugest thing like 5 years ago, and then they just crashed and burned. So I think if someone could sustain that model, that's still, you know, really exciting space. And obviously just moving into mobile gaming, because that's where everyone's going to be. And then you have this physical gaming aspect as well. I think that they're kind of going at it from every angle. And there's a lot of good potential there. So it'd be interesting to see them grow.
Yeah, for sure. For all the listeners, one of the reasons that we put this together, this in the Boxable, was, you know, to keep everyone kind of attuned to some of the new different trends that are going on. Boxable, Winner, Metaverse, and different ways that you're able to invest in these as well. So obviously with this one, ticket is much higher. I think the minimum now is 100,000. But what was the Boxable investment?
Boxable is as low as $1,000.
That was as low as 1,000. So kind of quite a range there. But if you guys like these episodes and there's other companies that you want us to investigate, go and sit down with and have a chat with and see if there's any opportunities, let us know. Give us a shout on Boss Lounge, Patreon, or just email Derek directly.
Yeah, best way to do it is on Patreon. If you're a member, we take those requests the most seriously. I got pretty good success rate of reaching out to these people as well. We actually have a competitor to Boxable coming up here in LA that I'm going to check out. That's a really interesting concept. So one idea kind of breeds into other ideas, and we get a lot of our best ones from you guys. So check it out, patreon.com/investlikeaboss, or just go to investlikeaboss.com, click become a Patreon. Anyone in there that suggests a guest, it's taken very seriously, and we will pursue them.
For sure. Next week, Derek and I are going to record an episode on what are you going to do with all that money? So we're going to take a look at different wealth levels from $10 million to $50 million, $100 million, and over $1 billion, and investigate what people do at different wealth levels, how they organize their life, what types of luxuries they dive into, what are their stresses. And we're going to give a breakdown of how much your investment portfolio would grow and how much cash it would generate at the different wealth levels. And I'll be asking Derek what he would do with $100 million. So stay tuned to that episode.
Obviously an aspirational episode for me, a real life episode for Sam. So for we'll sure. talk to you guys.
For sure, he'd buy a new dress.
Next week.
Thanks for listening to the Best Like a Boss podcast. Join our mailing list at investlikeaboss.com to get exclusive access to our insider investment portfolios and our private members forum.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends and leave us a review in the iTunes store. It helps more than you know. See you guys next week.